You just skipped the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You just went straight into it.
No, I hit record. I did it real quick. You weren't seeing it. You weren't looking.
Nah, dude, it was real fucking fast.
That's how fast I usually bust a nut.
Oh my god.
Yo, what's up, everybody? I know we haven't been here in like 3 weeks or some shit, something like that. But we've been busy.
Yeah, we're doing stuff. We're here though.
Yeah, better late than never. Yeah, we're here. We're back from CMP. And let's just get right into it. How was your weekend, Eddie?
What are you fucking chuckling about? My weekend was good. I had a great time. It was always good to see you and the Fortune Gang fucking doing your shit.
Doing our shenanigans,
you know, bringing tents with no pins.
Oh, we had pins. We just didn't have enough pins. Yeah, we haven't set that tent up in probably like 3 years.
Well, so. Unprepared.
Really unprepared. We're using bolts instead of
pins. Fucking God.
But we had to do what we had to do, you know? We had to show out.
Yeah, no, weekend was great. I really enjoyed the Grid Life Festival there that they had. I mean, we can get more deep into the nitty gritty, but I had a really fun time. And no, not too many complaints. Some, but not too many.
Some complaints, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just things that I think could have been done differently.
Like the facilities. Is that what you're referring
to? Yeah, you know.
How the porta potties weren't.
How them shits were overflowing like the fucking.
Literally, on
geyser?
On Sunday, I was like.
To the brim.
It was filled to the brim. And I was like, are they going to do something about this in the morning? I was like.
I feel bad for the motherfucker who has to clean that shit out.
Well, I think you just put something in and it just sucks it all out.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, it's not a great job, but I'm sure they get paid decent because no one wants to do it.
I mean, it makes sense that the one you used was full to the brim.
No, I actually had to go to the ones near False Grid because that, I guess no one went over there. So it was super empty.
Word. So. The showers were just, they didn't work at all. I only got to use one. It was one hot shower. The rest of them were cold.
Well, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have that issue.
I know. You were an Airbnb.
Don't you use the toter shower? I'm sure that. It's just because you don't have a water hookup?
Well, no. We actually had a water hookup. That's a funny story. So we can't get hot water on that thing because we don't know what the fuck we're doing. There's like a valve that we didn't release or something.
Mechanic.
More like we need lessons. We thought we had it running, but we couldn't figure it out, so we just gave up. And we used the showers there, but that ran into a whole other set of problems. So,
how big is the water tank on that thing? Pretty large. Could take a shower.
Yeah, you could take a quick shower. Yeah, you can take a quick shower.
Okay.
I mean, I more like a rinse. You know, you wouldn't want to fucking sit under that bitch for like 10 minutes. But,
right.
It's fine. I mean, the thing works. It's just not, I mean, like if you have a shower that is connected to the building, that's much more appropriate. Like,
right.
If I were taking a 10-minute shower, I'm doing it in the building. I'm not going to do it in the toter. The toter is more like a rinse, you know, you just got off the track, rinse yourself and
then you go back
to society.
Right. Yeah. Right. I get it. Yeah. So everyone in the audience doesn't know this and I didn't know this either. Because we haven't been on a podcast in 3 fucking weeks. But I saw Eddie for the first time in God only knows how long. And this man's lost like 30 pounds. It's fucking wild. He looks like a whole different person.
Oh, come on. I look the same.
Nah, he looks different. I mean, his shirts are definitely from when he was bigger. So now he looks different.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to do something to keep the weight off the car since I added all that weight back with the different roll bar. So. Yeah, no, I just decided to stop eating and smoke a lot of cigarettes and drink a lot of caffeine. And that, you know,
that made you
quenched my thirst for eating a lot.
Cocaine will do that, too.
Cocaine, a little expensive, but
than all that other stuff.
You think so? I don't know.
I don't know what the price of cocaine is nowadays.
I've never bought cocaine, so I wouldn't know.
That's what he's telling everybody. But we all know that's a lie. Anyway. Wow. So tell the audience about your weekend, how it went, times.
All right.
I'll talk about me, but I want to hear you, and then we'll.
Okay. All right. So we'll do me first, then you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I got there a day before you. I started driving on Thursday.
You got there.
I
forgot.
So we flew in Wednesday night and immediately went to Home Depot because we realized it's raining and David has no windows in his car. So we had to go get some tarps to try to figure that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also didn't have some tools, so we had to buy that. Next thing you know, it's midnight and we're pulling in and I'm like, fuck, here we go again. Another grid life event where Eddie doesn't sleep. And
at least you got there a day early.
Yeah, so we got there a day early. And the thing about the toter is it takes a while to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking a good 2 hours of just the basics.
Yeah.
Right? Unload the cars. The cars are the easiest part. Just drive them off onto the ramp and then it lowers. But like all the stuff, setting up the tent,
mm-hmm.
like the awning and all that, it just takes a long time. So we didn't even set that up. We got in, went straight to bed, set up the RV part and went to bed.
Yeah.
Woke up super early, unloaded everything. One thing about CMP that I wasn't aware of is that it's all sand.
Yep.
And when you're parking something that weighs 70,000 pounds, it's going to sink a little bit. So we kind of learned that real quick when it started to rain. We're like, oh my God, it wasn't that bad, but it was enough where you could feel it in the trailer. So we actually put some wood underneath the tires to try to even it out a little bit. Because when you're off axis like that, it's just everything's uncomfortable. Thursday we did the test day with ASM and I really learned very little. It was awful weather conditions. I think I had one semi-dry session, so like maybe partially dry, but again, I mean, I'd only played this on the sim, so my understanding of the track was very minimal. And first time going out was in the pouring rain, so that was fun to learn.
Yeah.
The car was great overall. I thought I was having some binding issues with the end links on the front sway bar, but it turns out that wasn't the case. That must have been from a previous time. So that was all set. And then, so we're going into the grid life event. So Friday, you know, you show up Thursday afternoon, we hang out, that sort of thing, set it up. Friday rolls around and, you know, that was the first real lap that I took of the track. It's a fun track. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's a flowy track, which I wasn't expecting. Like everything flows pretty well. The one thing I will say about this track that I think, I'm not sure why this was decided.
Let me guess before you say it.
Yeah.
Timing and scoring. Is that what you're about to say? Timing mark was?
Yes. I was going to say the start finish line.
So, yeah.
So at CMP, for whatever reason, the start finish line is at the braking zone.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, run your fastest lap, you basically are saying, I'm doing one lap and then blowing turn one for the next lap, which is fine for you and I because our cars overheat like fuck. So for us, it's like, I gotta overheat.
Brakes overheating.
That's overheating, no matter what. So anyway, so to do a fast lap, you basically blow turn one for the following lap, and you blow that whole lap. It's over. So I thought that was already weird, but I didn't even think about the dangers that come with that late braking zone. And this weekend kind of showed that, well, maybe they should put it back a few feet because there were some incidents that I feel like had to do with people slamming on the brakes late. Either they overheat or they brake too late and then they go off.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people off at turn one.
Yeah.
One and two. Yeah.
Because you were going in so hot because you want to, you know, get the fastest way through the start finish.
Yeah.
I feel like it just overheats the brakes and next thing you know, you're in the dirt or the sand.
Yeah.
So that was weird to me. The curbs were not friendly there, as far as I could tell. They really rattled your car up.
Yep.
And I tried to stay off of them the best I could. The ones through the sort of bowl, the back stretch,
yeah,
you could ride. But like any outer curb, that was like rough. That was like teeth shattering. Like my fillings rattled the fuck out. It was not fun to run over them. But I did do it on my fastest lap. Yeah, so Friday was fine. I mean, again, timing and scoring didn't work very well. So I'm sure that
It was a shit show for that. I don't know what the fuck happened, but Race Hero was not working.
You keep going. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say Race Hero wasn't working, so no one could follow along and no one knew what they were running until they sent out the listing, which was always like an hour or two later. So it's like, we don't know what we ran. The first practice wasn't even recorded.
Oh, right. I forgot about it.
So the only thing was recorded was practice two, qualifying one on Friday, and then qualifying two, qualifying three for Saturday, and then podium sprint, which none of us got to, which is
fine. Yeah, so I knew real quick before the event even started that my chances of making podium sprint were based off of who broke, because my car just isn't, that track is a power track from what I can tell. Like, it really benefits to have a lot of horsepower.
Yeah, which for sure.
My car doesn't have. So yeah,
it really is a power track, and it's not very aero dependent either.
You don't
need aero, you just need power.
You need power and balls.
Yeah.
And I have neither of those. So yeah, I struggled there in terms of flat out speed. Like, I probably was, my top speed was like maybe 118 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, not very fast. But my cornering speeds were quick. Car felt fucking fantastic on those Fortune two ways, I gotta say.
Sheesh, no plug.
No plug. No plug. But
I don't have enough money to plug this fucking podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say you spent it on tent, bro. Yeah. Those pins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Saturday rolls around. So yeah. Let's go back to Friday. Do qualifying run one. And real quick, I'm like, well, fuck. I'm way off pace. Like, we're talking several seconds off.
Okay, yeah, audience. All right, so I'm going to give you some fucking context, because this was a weird weekend for me, because I'm used to never being anywhere close to fucking Eddie. Now, Eddie told me his time in practice, and I was like, this is weird. What the fuck is going on with Eddie? Right? And then, like, the next practice comes around, and then we're still, like, right beside each other. I'm like, this is fucking strange. And this has nothing to do with Eddie. It's just, it's a new track to him. So it's just getting your feet like situated at some brand new track. And also, this track is one of those tracks that, like Eddie mentioned, you have to have balls and you have to really lay it out on the line, especially if you're, like, on the kink and stuff like that. So, and this honestly goes to show like how impressive Patrick's time was.
Oh, dude, I give like, Patrick so much credit. Yeah. Like, I watched that lap and his car is much less modified. I think he has lowering springs, a sway bar, and a tune, and wheels. Yeah,
and then tire, which I think he's running like a 265.
Wheels and tires. Yeah, he was running a square 265 setup.
Yeah.
And the dude, and obviously he's been there before.
Yeah.
I'd say, because that lap was incredible. He's
been there in other cars before, yeah, for sure.
That lap was incredible, and it was very hard to beat. It took me all weekend.
Finally, it took me all weekend
until you beat it. So the first practice in qualifying, I was running like 47s. Now, granted, I was on some pretty chooch tires. I'm not going to make all the excuses, but like, those tires were well done. So qualifying one rolls around, and I run like a 45.
Yeah.
Which, again, not like anything particularly fast, but I started to get the feel of the car around the track. And then I think, I don't know what happened, but the qualifying three was a shit show. I don't think I got a single really quick lap.
Yeah, honestly, the fastest time for me was qualifying two, which was in the morning.
Yeah, for me it was two as well.
And then
not the fastest lap, but just the fastest it felt.
Right, your morning sessions were always faster, because your fastest session was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So
if I had done, well, first thing, I'll never mind. Just keep going, what you were saying.
Oh, I was just saying your morning sessions were faster. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, so what I will say is that track is unbelievably hard on brakes.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Yes. So my car had probably like a little more than half of the pad left on it.
Mm-hmm.
Those were done by Friday night. I started to feel something strange the last session on Friday. I'm like, that'd be weird that the brake pads would go.
Right.
But I'm going to check them anyways, because I had to take the tires off anyways, because I was swapping to the newer tires, and they were gone. My rule of thumb is whenever the pad gets smaller than the backing plate, that's just been my, you know, rule of thumb always, if it starts to get that small, that means that the pads are done.
Right.
Because that means that the pads are wearing quicker than before. Mm-hmm. And you can rip through that material and it'll just go straight to the fucking backing plates and you're metal on metal at that point. So I swapped to another set of pads that I had from Laguna that I swapped out because they were glazed over. Mm-hmm. And then I drove around and unglazed them, aka driving a little over the speed limit and braking really hard, like 15 times. And then Saturday rolls around. Like I was saying, ran a 45 with the new tires. Car felt good. But again, I don't know this track very well. Like, this is the first time. So I'm taking it kind of easy. And then the third qualifying, which was the afternoon, was just a shit show for me. I'm not sure what exactly happened. I think I was stuck in traffic for a lot of it.
Anyone went faster at qualifying three. So
and the track was boiling hot and it was greasy as all hell. So
this
just
after like drifting.
Yeah. So I think I ran a 44.7, which is just like, it was so close to his lap record. Mm-hmm.
But oh, in quality three or quality two?
I think it was two.
Okay.
It was two. I think I had a 45 in quality one, and then two, I did a 44.7. And then three, I think I did like a 46. Like my car was just nowhere to be found.
That
sounds
about right for me.
But I mean, these guys were running 39s and 40s. You had to be, a 41 or 42 to even get into?
For street, it was like 40. Because I think Mike Coons was the cutoff, and he, I think, put a 40 or 41, something like that.
Yeah, that's why I said 41. Okay, so that wasn't going to happen.
Right. Like, I think the next ones were the Zs, which was Sam and his built Z, which was 43. And then you had Nish and his
Nismo,
which was like a 44. So very close to you.
He was like a couple tenths faster. Yeah. It wasn't anything crazy, which is where my car really should be.
Right.
I mean, it's exactly where it should be in terms of speed.
Right.
Especially because I don't know the track. Like I was learning it every single, session. I learned a little bit more. So when it came around to Sunday, the pressure was on. There's no getting around. I was like,
you did have, like, I mean, you're that close to the record.
I knew it was there. So I was like, okay, if I fuck this up, I'm going to be pissed for a year. I would be pissed for a year. So I went out. The track was shit. The track was fucking shit.
Well, at least you didn't have a fire in yours. Or not a fire, a fucking car in the woods.
Yeah. So, Sunday morning, this was after all the drifting, all the bullshit, all the oil, and God knows what. So, like, the track just was pretty much gone in braking zones. Like, if you went offline a little bit, the car would just spit itself out.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of turning up the rebound in the rear because the day before my car was pushing constantly. Mm-hmm. It was not rotating.
Oh, you changed the rebound, not the compression?
The compression felt fine. I turned up the rebound. The rebound was low. So I'm like, let's try the rebound first.
Well, if you wanted the car for reference here for next
time. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Okay,
this is why.
You can ask me. If your car is pushing, you could lower the rebound in the front.
That's what I did.
I meant lower the compression in the front and then increase in the rear, or increase a little bit in the rear and leave the compression how it is.
That's what I did. I jumped it two clicks.
Okay.
In the rear. That's all I did.
You didn't touch rebound. You did a compression. The ones on the external. Canister.
Yes. Yeah. The canister. Okay. Right. Underneath. Underneath. Right. Sorry. I'm confused. Yeah. So I turned up the compression thinking that it was still going to be a pushy track. Mm-hmm. Well, I was fucking wrong as hell because I get out there and my car turned into a fucking Formula D car. And every corner, it was liftoff over steering. Like every corner. And I'm like, oh, the tires just need some heat in them. Yeah. So I did two laps of getting the heat in the tires. Mm-hmm. And then that third lap, I went for it.
Yeah.
And that's the lap with my fastest lap is the one with the drift.
Yeah, right,
that was my fastest lap. So I come into turn one way too hot. Like the back end lets go immediately.
It kind of set you up for the next one, to be honest.
Well, it did, but I lost a ton of speed.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I lost a ton of speed. And then I stupidly put it into fourth before I went around the corner. So that just killed a second.
Right.
So that was literally a second on my aim down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, that I just ruined this lap, but I'm going to fucking send it anyways. But the rest of the lap was pretty good. I After the drifting, though, I did not go as fast as I was the day before through the kink because I'm like, this thing is going to rotate. I don't know what it's going to do. So I went through it a couple miles an hour slower, but I beat his record by like 0.2 seconds, which isn't that much, especially because I royally fucked up the first third of that lap. Right. That car for sure had a four. That lap would have been a 43 if I hadn't fucked all that up. Yeah. So I'm kicking myself, but I have the record, so I really shouldn't be too upset.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully if I go back next year, I will improve on that because now that I feel somewhat comfortable with that track.
Mm-hmm. It's like, a fun track.
Yeah, it is. That Sunday, I was just starting to feel like really comfortable.
Right.
That's why I was throwing the thing around because I started to like, all right, I can do this.
Right.
So, but I had a good time. And I think there was a lot of spectators from what I could see. Oh, a lot of people.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there.
A lot of people. But yeah, that was basically my weekend. I got the front wheel drive lap record. And the car, only minor things were wrong with it. Like I said, the brakes. And of course, my adjuster that I put in on the left side popped off, probably from going over those rumble strips. So I got to retighten it back on.
Okay. Yeah.
That was it, though.
I was there. But yeah, I mean, it was a solid weekend for you, for sure. I mean,
I did what I came to do. And that was my goal. I was fairly certain that with all the Evos and STIs that I was not going to make it unless there were mechanical issues. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you did what you had to do. So, I mean, you got what you came there to get, and it was a successful weekend.
Thank you very much.
Of course. So, I'll talk about my weekend. I mean, it went well. I mean, the first Brit Life event of the year, Friday. So, I actually got there on Thursday.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you were there Thursday.
Yeah. It was raining, whatever. I didn't do the ASM day because I've already been to the track before and didn't really need to be there.
You didn't. I mean, it was a waste of money in my opinion. So
right, because
I didn't get any fucking
right,
didn't learn anything.
Right.
So yeah.
So which I'm good. I'm glad I didn't spend the money. Anyway, Friday rolls around. First practice obviously isn't recorded. But it wasn't a super fast time for me anyway. I think I did a 46, which matched my time last year. So I was happy there. I was like, okay, well, that's a good start. I'm just looking back at my lap time. The first session was a 46.08. So I had my transponder ahead, like where the toe thing is. So it's a little quicker on Race Hero than on my timing device.
You needed all the help you could get, is what you're saying.
I mean, I had to, you know what I'm saying? So, this year I'm running Street Modded for anyone that doesn't know, which is a Supra class at this point.
Evos and Supras is what we're getting at here.
Yeah, so Street Evos and Subarus, and then for Street Mod, it's pretty much Supras and
Subarus.
Yeah. So first practice session wasn't recorded, but a low 46. The next practice session was a low 45. I was like, okay, cool. Now, all this being said, as Eddie knows, I've been having consistent tune issues. Now, the tune issues are overboost. So when the car overboosts, it cuts power. Mm-hmm. And then you have to lift off the throttle, reapply the throttle, and then sometimes it'll give it to you, sometimes it won't, and then you'll still be in that weird limbo where the car is accelerating, but it's not accelerating to where it should be, you know, which happened on turn. It was always the front straight, which was 14-1. Then it was on turn 8 to, you know, whatever, the kink. And then it was on the run up before turn 8, so turn 6 or whatever it is. So pretty much everywhere where it's straight, where you're pretty much fourth gear to going to fifth or loading the car up from third to fourth, it's when the car would cut power. But all that being said, I still was dropping time, which was good. And I always knew that the car had the potential in it. And then second qualifier, which was on Saturday morning, is when I ran a 44.3. And all this being a while, I didn't know about this whole timing thing until Saturday night where the timing was marked. I was always braking at the normal point. So maybe I would have got a deeper 44 that time. But even with all my power issues, my optimal was like a 43.8 or 43.9. So I was close to my optimal, even with all the fucking weird problems.
That's good, dude. Having. That's fucking good.
So hopefully next year, if they do it next year, which I'm sure they will, I'll have the tune thing sorted because I'm going to get it dyno tuned from someone else. And then hopefully I can do a, I mean, I think the car easily would do a 43 all day long.
I was going to say low 43s for sure. That thing, the aero from what I could see was working.
Yeah.
I mean, you were on throttle so early.
It helps also drive, but yeah, no, I the car was amazing. I mean, I was flat out through the kink from the beginning, which was 120, and it just, the car ate that curb like it was nothing. So, I mean,
sick.
I could definitely have more speed into it, but the car just wouldn't accelerate past that at that point. So, but yeah, no, I mean, the car is fantastic.
That's about where my car was in speed. I mean, I think I did 120.
Yeah.
So that's about right. I mean,
I mean it makes sense for
I think
being close.
Yeah, I think for you, it's more like the ramp up of the speed is way slower because you have to lift so much.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's just like
hitting, that's frustrating.
It's a very annoying. And I have a video that I'm going to post tomorrow, which wasn't my fast time at all. It was just me behind Logan with the CTSV. Where I on every straight, you can see my foot just lift off and just do this every single time.
God.
Like get back on throttle, back on. Like it's just, it's super fucking annoying.
That's fucking frustrating, dude. So, and you would come in and I'll say this right now, you had the most positive attitude for someone who had the shittiest fucking bullshit go on.
I know.
Because like this problem has been going on for years.
It's New
now.
Jersey.
Yeah.
Last
so year. And it's a problem that is somewhat fixable, right? It's like, it's not like it's that difficult.
Right. The
car's over boosting, turn down whatever, you know, whatever. I'm assuming it's the transmission.
I think it's just, no, I think, so I talked to Kenny about it. He was like, well, when you load the car up, it ramps, boosts.
Yeah.
So it's just ramping past where like the setting, like the peak of the car is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just cuts power.
Yeah.
So it just needs to be turned down like that ramp.
For like, what? Sorry.
So it needs to be turned down in like fourth and fifth just so that way it doesn't do that.
You got to plateau the curve.
Right.
And frankly, you had mentioned this to the previous tuner multiple times and nothing was done about it. And I feel your pain.
Yeah. And I mean, at this point, you just kind of have to drive around it and just enjoy for what it is, which I mean, first through third gear, it's fast as fuck. It's quick. And sometimes it works in four, sometimes it doesn't. It just depends how it's feeling that day. But I mean, the things that I think about is like, my car makes this certain amount of power, even with the fucking, you know, problems. Like, I'm getting this mile per hour. Who can I compare against that also is getting this mile per hour at peak? Right. And then I can compare my time to them. Because if I'm driving to my peak, it should be around where they are.
Oh, for sure.
So if like a Honda Civic was driving like, and he only got, you know, up to 120, but his time is a 143, then I should also be around that same point, you know, or, you know,
whatever. I think you're on par with where the car was. I don't
know for sure. I think
like,
so too.
Again, like I just was watching you and there's so much time in that car.
Yeah.
Because of the power, like, you probably could have gotten up to a much faster speed if you didn't have to lift so much.
Yeah, I mean, on literally every straight, like the front.
It's like a second and a half.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
so,
I think the car has a 42 in it if I drive it super, super well. And that's cooking for a car that makes like 360 wheel comparative to everyone in class. That's,
I forget. Yeah. Do practice sessions count for lap records?
Yes, they do.
Okay, because I feel like if you knew the track, that first session would have been the one to beat the record on. The track felt so good on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And then it all went downhill from there.
Yeah. But
so
overall, good win. I liked it. It was a good showing for the GLA.
Looks great, dude. Seeing it in person, the photos don't do it justice. That car is so freaking cool. It's one of a kind. And the aero is just, it's so different than what I've ever seen on a GLA, you know, or any hatchback for that matter. I mean, it's so cool. And I apologize if I, you know, I don't know the name of the person who did it.
EJM Industries.
Hell of a good job.
Yeah.
No, oh, good job. Yeah. That splitter's dope. I was just watching the video of the backwards shot that you had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, during the drift
session? Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah. I wish I had it during the normal sessions, but that's fine.
Yeah, I actually want to speak about this for a second. So I tried for the first time a POV camera angle on my helmet.
Oh, yeah, the boss thing?
Dude, it is so cool.
It is pretty cool.
It is so cool.
Do you have it mounted up top or on the bottom?
I mounted up top.
Okay.
I'm sure I could put it on the bottom.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you had a chin mount, because I know Ben has a chin mount. I think Ben Lin has one on his chin.
Oh, he has one on his chin. I mean, I could just angle the camera down. Right. I didn't know. It was my first time ever. So the first time I tried it was that Sunday. I didn't.
Right.
I didn't want to mess with anything Friday or Saturday. I'm like, I got too much going on.
Well, that was a good session that you put it on.
Yeah. But I also have the Garmin as backup for camera. That's why I wasn't too worried. But yeah, it looks so cool. So yeah, if you ever are looking for a POV mount, you know, this isn't a plug or anything. I just think that their product's fantastic. So
yeah. And we have to shout out our sponsor, Renscott. RS
Pro. RS Pro, Garage 42.
Yeah.
Need your car stored.
Massachusetts. David brought out some goodies to Ben Lin and myself with the new quick release fire.
Quick disconnect.
Mount. Yes. It's a mouthful there.
It is a beautiful piece of billet or whatever it's made out of. I don't know what it's made out of. But yeah, it's beautiful. And more importantly, it works really well.
Yeah.
And the last thing you need when you need a fire extinguisher is something that's extremely complicated. Like you have to pull a pin or put in a fucking combination or smash some glass. Like I always thought that was fucking weird. But anyways, this you just pull up on a lever and the thing drops down or pops out. And then you pull the pin on the fire extinguisher. So yeah, really like it. I'd say, you know, I don't know when they're going to fully release that product, because I think we still are on prototypes. Mm-hmm. But when they do, and you're looking for a fire extinguisher for your car with a mount for a roll cage or roll bar, look no further. That's the one for sure.
Yeah. And also he makes the collars as well for your
and the harness collars. Yep.
So that's it, cleans it up a lot and makes it look really, really nice. Honestly, it looks way better than zip ties.
Yep.
I was a firm believer of zip ties because I'm cheap, but this looks really, really nice. So, and it cleans up the interior a little bit too. So,
yeah, no, I really like it. And he also does remote reservoir canister mounts for roll bars.
A variety of damper suppliers. So, it works for your JRZs, your Penske's, Fortunatos, whatever else, Olin's, I'm sure, KW's. You just have to give them your circumference and diameter of your canisters.
Girth.
The girth. And he can make it for you. So it's super helpful, especially depending on where you mount your reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good option. And he makes really nice parts and it looks super nice as well. Also, I love the boxing because you, like when you open up the harness collars, it tells you where to put your finger to to get all the cardboard out. It's pretty sick.
It's dope. I mean, the packaging's great. And, you know, I always love to hype up my friends' products, but this one in particular, this mount for the fire extinguisher and quick release, it definitely has a lot of craftsmanship in it and design. This isn't just a, you know, run of the mill part. So, yeah, kudos to them. And you can't put a price on safety. So, definitely enjoy it. Hopefully they come out sooner than later. So,
yeah, let's see what else. So
tell about the brakes. Let's talk about the brakes for you. Because,
oh, yes.
You know, thought you may have solved the problem, but it sounds like it didn't.
Oh, my brakes?
Yeah, your brakes.
Yeah. So this track is just hard on brakes. So I went to VIR, what was it? 3-4 weeks ago, sometime like that in March. And the only thing difference that I had then versus now was different front pads. So I was running a Hawk pad before and now I'm running Paragon. Obviously this has nothing to do with Paragon because I love their brakes, their R7s that I just put on. Fantastic pad.
It's just
this particular track fucking kills brakes. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because like for whatever reason, my car either doesn't fully turn off traction control, even though if I put it in, like, fully turn it off, or if it's just the constant braking, moving. And I think it's more like that, and also my car's heavy.
So my theory is that track, turn one and the turn after the kink, mm-hmm. are so hard on brakes. Because remember, you're late braking into turn one, yeah. usually. And then in the kink, that's at least a 100-degree turn.
Right.
So that, you're also slamming on the brakes from over 110, 150 miles an hour. So, and then after those two corners, you're not going that fast, but you're still using brakes, so you don't right. get the cooling effects. So yeah. I think that, combined with the heat, it just roasts pads. I don't right. think the pads get a time to cool down.
I think that's the bigger thing. There is no cool down versus, like, VIR, you have the whole back straight to fucking cool the brakes.
Yeah, because every yeah. straightaway at CMP is next to a tight corner.
Right. Yeah, and you're braking down to, like, 50, 60 miles per hour, so from 100. So
yeah.
Yeah, it just cooks your brakes. So I could only really do two to maybe three hot laps before I would have to do a cool down. Because, like, if I just did constant laps, the pedal would get soft because it's just cooking, like, the fluid itself. And I came in one time after I didn't do a cool down, after, like, I don't know, two hot laps or whatnot, and I went to go pit. And my brakes were literally on fire. So they told me I pretty much did another lap around the paddock to cool them a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's that track. It happened last year too, but it was a little different last year versus now. But still, like, my calipers started turning from red to black.
Brown bows.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think the next upgrade for the car would be bigger brakes, but I want to do the bigger calipers too. Not just the bigger calipers, but bigger calipers and bigger rotors. But if I do the bigger rotors, that means I can't run my 18s.
Yeah,
that yeah. I use to drive to and from the track. So that kind of is like, then I have to buy new wheels, and I'm like,
it adds a whole other cluster.
Right.
Something I also was thinking of, you know, when you were just talking. Do you run titanium spacers in between the caliper and the pad?
The shims?
Yeah, the shims.
Nah.
So that could also be a reason why your calipers are heating up so much.
Yeah.
I feel like your pad might be so much stronger
mm-hmm.
that all the heat isn't going into the pad, it's going into the caliper.
Right.
So I think you might want to try those shims.
I'll have to see if they can cut me one, because I don't think they make
it. I have a set of some older ones if you want to cut it up next time I see you.
Well, I'm just going to ask Paragon, because they already have the pad shape, so if they make them...
Who makes the caliper? Is it Mercedes? It's
Brembo.
Then they should have a generic Brembo design.
You would think that, but they normally don't. They don't have shit for my car.
Yeah, but there's got to be another car that uses your caliper.
Mm.
I'm telling Maybe. You, look it up.
I mean, I'm sure I could look it up, but I would have to then cross-reference the part number for the Brembo, and I don't know if I could find that.
All right. Fair enough.
We'll cross that bridge. I'll look it up.
Because, like, that I feel like it that could be
it would help. Part of the problem. I don't think it would help tremendously to the point to where it's like, it would save the
paint.
It would save some of the paint and probably some of the piston. Like, it would just prolong the piston.
The seals. Place.
Yeah. So, but I plan on changing. Now, I do have, obviously, that other set of Brembos that are black that I could change the seals in and upgrade that.
Paint the color black, like full black.
Honestly, I might as well just keep it that way. But I want to do the Alcon 6-piston upgrade that Paragon sells. So, and then two-piece gyro disc brake rotors, I suppose. Yeah.
Paragon doesn't make rotors for your car?
I don't know if it's their branded or Girodisc or whatever.
Okay,
it's
something yeah. Either side. Way, it's a good rotor.
Right. Some two-piece design that'll save some rotational mass. So.
Yeah, brakes. That place, my last lap on Sunday, not last lap, but one of my faster laps on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
my pedal was so soft into turn one.
Right.
And sure enough, those pads that I put in on Saturday were done on Sunday. So yeah. Now, granted, I did have a brand new set of pads in the box, but I didn't want to put them in because I was trying to make these last because I'm going to put on new rotors and pads
right
coming up. So I really didn't want to open up these pads for one fucking day. So that's why I threw the used ones on.
Actually, my rear pad on the right side is pretty much gone. So I'll have to change. So the only thing I'll have to change before Midwest is, well, I need to change my rear pads, which is fine. I haven't done those in such a long time. And I'm going to just put all new rotors on just because they're not that expensive and I might as well change the fluid. I'll probably change it to SRF. I ran SRF once before. And I liked it. It's just that was the event I cooked them at CMP, so I really didn't get a chance to really
experience that. Them shits were that. Bubbling.
Right. And then I changed it to 660 after, like, walk-ins. So
yeah,
it's just cheaper, but I'll probably do SRF.
I run, obviously, Motul 700.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that fluid.
Yeah.
It can take a freaking beating, and I'm sure I'm changing it way sooner than you actually have to.
That's the tricky part. I don't like some people like keep that shit in for like the whole season.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I try to do it every two events.
The reason I mean, I think I've talked about this before, but when I would rip through those calipers on the Civic, I would replace the fluid because the fluid would get, you know, once you have that much heat into the fluid, it creates water.
Yeah.
I think, right? Isn't it something like that? Or it's, air pockets or whatever, sure, the case
it's,
is.
It's bubbles. One or the other, yeah.
And so it would always just boil the fluid.
Yeah.
So I'd have to change it. And now it's just become a thing every time I change the pads or I'm there. Oil. I just bleed it. Just yeah, the oil. It.
Yeah.
Oil, I just do it all. But yeah, no. Sounds like you had a great time. The car is awesome. And for people who don't know, Devin has this beautiful vintage Mercedes-Benz on the spoiler, and I freaking love it.
Yeah,
you
don't see it unless you know. Yeah.
You don't know until you know. But yeah, I thought the event went really well. If there was another the thing not having Race Hero really fucked with my head because I'd be sitting around being like, well, did I do better? Did I do worse? My aim usually is wrong.
Right.
Like, do I need to change adjustments in the car or like, where am I with this? So that was really freaking frustrating. And I think there was some issues with the live stream, according to some people. So, but
yeah, the live stream was weird because they normally have. They usually do the whole day on Saturday. Also, they also do qualifying on Friday. That's when they normally start and they have commentary with Kyle always with Time Attack, but this time it was on Twitch and there was no commentary at all. It was just like different shots of the run groups.
That's annoying.
Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. They're, you know, Kyle's sick and hiccups.
Yeah. I hope he feels better.
Yeah.
And his cat.
And his cat. Yeah. So I would say the only thing I didn't like that wasn't changed during the event, other than the bathroom situation, was there was no brake markers on like.
Oh, five dude, corners. I completely forgot about bringing that shit up. I tried to block it from my memory. Yeah. Now imagine never being in that track.
Right.
You know, like I was braking all over the fucking place. Like,
right.
Sometimes too early, most of the time too late. I went off the track three times.
Oh, during the ASM day?
Well, the ASM day, one lap, I spun it like twice. And I spun it again. And then I was just like, fuck this. And I came in.
Yeah.
But that was just because I couldn't get heat in the rear tires. Because I was going so slow because I didn't know the track, right?
Right.
Like, it was just like a combination of things. But I kept going. I went off once in the dry on Friday because I braked way too late out of the kink.
Yeah, they didn't have,
because there's no braking markers at the most dangerous corner, I feel like. No braking markers, and then there was no braking markers heading into one, which was another one that's like you're looking at a wall and you're like, well, do I brake here? And I definitely underbraked one. Like I had so, I could have braked so much later, but I didn't trust, like I didn't know where I was braking. Like it right. really screwed with me for the first day and a half. By Sunday, I started to figure out, okay, I can brake here, I can brake
like
here.
Points, but... yeah, like points at the track where you can, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a, I don't know why they didn't do anything. Like from a safety standpoint, I feel like that was a big old fuck up.
And they could have just put anything. They could have put cones.
Put cones.
Yeah.
Put fucking
cones at every 100
chairs.
Yeah.
Put some old fucking, I don't even know what. Like just right. throw some old trash cans out there. I mean, like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was definitely overthought. I think they thought, oh, everybody will be fine. But when you're trying to learn a track, not knowing your braking zone, it's pretty scary. Yeah. David had the same issue. I think he was saying that he went off a few times from that same thing, just braking way too late or way too early, and you know. But yeah, I totally forgot about that. I tried to erase it from my memory because, like, hey, at least I can trust myself now. Now I feel more comfortable just going into a braking zone that there's no markers. Just
yeah,
sort of adapt on the fly.
That's it. And to, I mean, yeah. at this point, we might as well. Right, we could just wrap up the recap. Well, we're done with the recap at this point, but I have a question for you because to your next event is Midwest, right?
Yeah. No, Rev Up, but it's the same track.
Okay. Are you doing Rev Up and Midwest?
Yeah, we're doing
Damn.
Both.
Damn. Okay.
We love Gingerman.
Yeah, you love Gingerman.
Sorry. Don't say it out loud.
Speaking of Gingerman, I haven't been there.
Okay.
I've been there, but I haven't driven there.
Okay.
The elusive sub 140 is what everyone goes for. That's kind of like the club. And you, have you got to 139 or you were like right on that?
No, I have never done a sub 140.
Okay.
I have this fucking sticker of Dewey with his butt out.
Yeah.
With a 140 and over 140 sign. So I'm trying to get rid of that sticker. I ran a 140.2 during the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So. You can imagine the conditions during that.
Right. Yeah. Rev Up, you'd definitely be able to.
So
that would
yeah.
be the best time to do.
Now, the record for front wheel drive is like a 39.5.
By who?
Some Civic Type R. I don't know.
Okay.
So I'd like to try to get close to that.
Mm.
We'll see. I'm not making any promises. The thing is with Gingerman is it's just extremely hard on tires. It's an old surface that really needs to be repaved.
Okay.
Should have been repaved, but. We're not there yet, I guess. So the track is getting slower, but the cars are getting faster. So that's sort of why you don't really see that much of a drop off. But yeah, it's a tough track to get that sub 140 during Midwest Fest,
right?
Especially if you're front wheel, two wheel drive. Like the hardest part is like the drifters go out, and once they go out, because the service is so bad, the track just falls apart.
Yeah.
So basically, your chances of doing it are the Thursday or whatever they start racing.
That probably
the first session.
Yeah.
Or that Sunday morning. Mm. That's it. Or Saturday morning. Your morning sessions. But once the drifters go out, that really lowers your chances.
So right now I have. So I didn't rotate my tires from VIR or CMP. So right now my front tires are. Low on tread, but my rear tires have pretty good tread because they've been on the rear since this whole time.
It's a square setup, right?
It's a square setup. Yeah. So what I'm thinking is because I want the car to rotate anyway and it pushes sometimes, I can just put the rears obviously on the front on the rears. So I have more tread in the front and not as much in the rear. And the rear doesn't obviously need it as much as the front.
Yeah. No.
And it'll get the car to rotate. Or I can just buy a pair of brand new AO52s for the front and then continue to run it how that is. I just don't know what setup I should run or buy new tires. I'm just trying to avoid buying a pair of tires.
If you care about your tires, don't bring new ones there. Okay. How important is this sub 142?
It's not that important.
Then
I mean,
don't bother.
We'll see. Cause like if I can't even figure out the tune thing before then it won't fucking matter anyway. But yeah.
I think what you should do is flip them over.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You've got Lime Rock after that, right?
Yes, in August.
And then, and then that's it.
Yeah, because I was going to run Pit, but I don't think I'm going to run Pit. I mean, I have a ticket for Pit, but I don't think I'm going to be running it.
Why do you say that?
I have to go to a wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Loser. Anyways. I mean, actually, ironically, I might have to go to a wedding that weekend.
Yeah.
What if we show up to the same wedding? That would be so funny. Devin? Yeah, it's hard for me to say, yeah, go buy tires for this event. Because realistically, this is my least favorite racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hardest track to get any sort of time on.
Right.
And it's the worst conditions usually. Yeah,
so it's really not worth it.
I just don't see the value, especially because you're probably only going to drive this track. You might not ever drive it again.
Right.
I mean, and you already have the record for the fastest GLA in that place. So,
bro, I got it. So I will say there is another guy that does run Midwest Fest with the GLA, but he runs it in HPD. I don't think his car is all, I think it's pretty stock. But, and obviously, I don't think beating his time is all they're going to be that challenging because I think he's a really, really high 40. So, like, that'll be easy. But there is one other person that has, that I know that's driven a GLA on that track.
All right.
So,
hey, you know what? Like, I don't know. For how much would it be to get a set of tires? $1,000 for the fronts?
So I would just do front only. It's probably $600 because I think $600, $700.
I think it all depends on if you want to go to Lime Rock with a fresh set, right?
Right.
Like if you're going to go to Lime Rock with a fresh set of tires in the front or all around,
right?
Then don't do it. But if you're saying, well, if I get this now and maybe it'll make it to Lime Rock, then I don't see why not. But again, this place eats tires.
Right.
Like I went through a full set of tires, I think, 1 year.
Well, that's also what I worry about. I mean, I can bring my X comps just for like a backup because I have a full set of those just chilling, just to have if I chew up these AO52s. But
now, are you driving the car or are you going to trailer it this time?
I'm trailering it. Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. I know, everyone.
It's different. Hold on.
Devin is trailering. He's not driving
13 hours to Michigan.
Oh, my God. And that seat, yo, my butt fuck already hurts that. Thinking about that.
Nah, honestly, it wasn't that bad driving back. Honestly, I was just bored driving back. It was 6 hours. Well,
especially after going on the track, it's like you're just sitting.
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Lime Rock is going to be my furthest drive and use it at 7-8 hours, something like that. Which I like that drive. It's
seen. That's a fun drive too. Like some of the back roads there are fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm getting it trailered with Ben's Evo because Thorne is not going to be there. He has his anniversary, I think, that weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, he's doing adulting things.
Yeah.
And it's Ben's 30th, I think, right? That weekend?
That weekend, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So if you see him there, you better give him a happy birthday.
We're going to see him there.
Well, no. I'm saying for the people who are listening. So the
10 oh, yes,
who might
yes,
be
yes.
listening to this, go give him a happy birthday.
Yeah, just don't be like that guy on Reddit.
Oh, my God. Should we even discuss that? Should we even bring that up?
I mean, if you want, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't even know where to begin with this. It was such a fucking shit.
Okay, so the summary of this is a guy decided to enter his illegal crossfire into street because it is illegal. It's a supercharged six-cylinder, and that should be in street GT, but they felt bad, so they put him in street. It's a crossfire SRT6 for anyone that was wondering, which is a SLK whatever the
55.
Fuck. 55.
Yeah, AMG, whatever.
Just underneath. But anyway, first time in street, first time grid life. And he's running like 51s, right? And then he complains. Well, wasn't he complaining to Luca that his car is too fast or some shit like that?
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Yeah. I guess there were some other incidents that may have happened. Granted, I wasn't there, so yeah. I can't speak, you know, for certain. But the gist is this dude was not particularly happy with how much faster the street class is. And I think...
Now, granted, we have been saying this for years.
Yeah.
But he's really slow.
Yeah, like, that's no, not this even is...
Like, he's not like, oh, he's like 44s, 43s. And then he complains. But he's like 51s. That's not even fucking in the realm to be talking. Like, you're 3 seconds off of a Sunday Cup car. You know what I'm saying?
I think, you know... In this Reddit post, now granted, I think the post was removed, so maybe Maybe he takes back what he said. Maybe he takes back what he said.
Or he's just getting cooked. You know,
or yeah, dry, but bro. But what I will say is a lot of the comments were pretty respectful in the fact that it was like, listen, grid life is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. And if you think you're going to go show up in podium, this is not your event. Also, he was complaining about track time. Again, not your event.
It's time attack.
Yeah. Do HPDE. You want a bunch of laps? Don't care about the clock. Go to that. Yeah. But if you want competition and camaraderie and a sport, that's what grid life is.
Yeah.
And you know, I had written a small comment. It was very nice. Small.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Something.
And, you know, I was agreeing with him. Like, I think the rules should change. I've been saying that for fucking God knows how long. I sound like, you know, a fucking parrot. But that doesn't, you know, change the fact that the people who are in the front runners, they are reading the rule book. They're making their cars within the rule book, and they just are doing a fantastic job and are willing to spend the money and time to do it.
Yep.
So, like, and I said, I was like, you know, I give all those people tons of respect for going that fast. Said stable connect. All right. I give those people a ton of respect because of how much effort they put in.
Yeah.
Now, comparatively to me, it's a, like, I probably do maybe a tenth of what they do on those cars. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, they've been doing it for years. They put tons of money in their car and tons of energy and time to, you know, get these vehicles to be where they are. It's not just, oh, let's dump 100K into an engine and see what happens. It's like, this has been years of people prepping those vehicles and developing. I mean, you know, my car has now, it's in its third iteration. So we're talking 5 years. Yeah. 5 years on track.
Right.
6 years, 6 years on track.
Yeah.
And there's always been changes. You know, it was not this fast when I started grid life. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I think it's just one of those things where if you're not used to having this crazy of a competition, it's going to be very shocking when you pull up and you realize you are not the fastest person at your local event anymore. And granted, he wasn't anyway, but it's hard to describe grid life. It's like the peak of amateur racing in the sense of like competition. Like, I would say it's obviously more competitive than SCCA because SCCA has like a gajillion classes, and even NASA. Like, you get the cream of the crop from all of those plus the local organizations, and they all combine to grid life.
Yeah. I mean you went to an SCCA event earlier, and
yeah, and I podium.
Well, that says it all. No, I'm just kidding. I mean
like, damn, like, I was having fucking issues. I still fucking podium.
Yeah, I think I was looking for that competition. That's why I did it. I enjoy seeing where I stack up against the rest of the country.
Right.
But like my first year, I didn't podium once. I don't think I did anything. I was slow as hell.
Right.
But so,
I mean, that's the great part. I mean, I don't want to be the top dog at a shitty event. Not saying it's shitty, but like, not as competitive event, because like, where's the fun in that? Like, if you keep winning all the damn time because there's no competition, you need to move up, right?
Yeah,
it's just like if you're playing Parks and Rec soccer and destroying fucking teams because your team is fucking goated, and then you go to travel and you get smacked around, right? Like, you need that competition to make you better.
Absolutely.
Regardless if you're losing, you're still learning and you're still realizing, hey, we can improve, we can make ourselves better, we can do this, we can do that. And yeah, it's that level of competition that I need, even if I'm losing, to make me better and learn. I mean, that's the best thing, is you're learning along the way.
For sure. I don't think I could have said it any better. Like, when you see fast drivers, like, you know, I always, you know, I like to pick on the Evos because they're the fastest cars, but
yeah,
I'll go over there and bark their ear off and try to get as much information as I can, because their laps are really fast, and they've, you know, either they've been there before or they practice a lot. Like, I don't think Luca's ever been there before, but I think he just really practiced or just took a, you know, swallowed a pill of pride and just sent it. I don't know.
He took a blue chew.
Yeah, I'm not. yeah, he's struggling to get in his belts. Yeah, I mean, like, give them credit. Like, whew, hell of a lap. I think he did, what, 39 something?
He did a 38.
God damn it, dude. 38.
I think he did a 39 in podium sprint, but I think the fastest time he did was a 38 something.
And he was well ahead of the other street class cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Josh might have did a 39.
Nah, he broke. Maybe. He didn't even make it to the podium sprint.
No, I'm just talking about, like, in general, like, over the whole
course. Yeah.
I think he might have broke a 39, but I don't think anyone was close to 38. Now, Ben was on a fucking heater of a lap for podium sprint, but then he went off after the kink. Oh, well, he cleared the kink, but that braking zone where there's no braking markers. Yeah.
I didn't know where he went off. Okay.
Yeah, he went off there.
I thought he had a mechanical problem.
Nah, he was flying, but he broke late and just carried it all the way and just stopped when his back wheel was off the track, which, if you didn't know, after podium sprint, if you do four off, you're automatically DQ'd.
Yeah, so. Bummer. Well, he played by the rules, so good for him. And yeah, one last thing I want to mention is we had a little surprise person show up, Jesse.
Yes.
Did not expect that.
I forgot. I knew about it. I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
He asked who knew, and I was like, I don't know.
So I got to meet Kenny as well, which was awesome. And he took us to a wonderful barbecue place in Charlotte, so that was awesome. But yeah, had a really fun time, and thank you to all the people, all my sponsors, all my friends, my family. I had such a good time this past weekend, and it wasn't from the driving, it was the just getting back together and hanging out. Hopefully we'll do another movie night. That was really fun. Yeah. You missed it because you're a fucking loser.
No, I missed it because my Airbnb was 51 minutes away.
All right, fair enough.
And I was
tired.
Fair enough.
I'm still calling you out on it, though. And yeah, I had a really good time. And I definitely want to go back because that track was really fun.
Yeah. So. And yes, I'm unfinished business. You need to get that 43.
We didn't talk about the elephant in the room here.
What?
The Honda Fit.
Oh, well, we'll wait for that because I think we want Jamie on.
Oh, wanted
him to describe his incident.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people already know about it.
I'm glad to say, I feel like most people have seen the carnage at this point, but it was definitely something you don't want to see after practice one when you're just ready to. Well, you were already on grid. I was obviously after you guys. No, wait, you were.
No, I wasn't on grid. I was in your group.
Yes, you were for practice.
So I was sitting in the trailer with David, and we were just talking about, I was getting in my suit and everything, and the track went eerily quiet. And I look at David, and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah.
I'm like, usually that means something bad happened.
Right.
Turns out I was right.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, because our tent was right there where they brought in all the cars after their incidents. And yeah, that on the bed of the truck, I was like, wait, hold on. I know who was driving a blue Fit.
And that car yeeted off the track.
Oh my God. It was crazy. But anyway, well, we'll see you next week. We'll try to have Jamie on and he'll describe what the fuck happened.
Yeah. So, that was nuts. That's the only way I can describe it. But yeah, great weekend. You did great. Had a great time. Thank you.
You got your record.
I got my record. And yeah, no, not knock on wood, not really any mechanical things that are too crazy. So
yeah.
And David's car held up, which was the first time ever in a grid life event.
He hasn't had great luck, but he
was like you. He was having tune-in things, same sort of thing. So yeah, looking forward to rev up in about 3.5 weeks, which is crazy to think that.
Right.
And yeah.
I'm still not recovered after this past, dude, feel like I haven't caught up on any sleep.
I have not slept. I've said this to so many fucking people. I've not had a good night's sleep in over 2 weeks.
Right.
Because the week before, I was, you know, I didn't even talk about this on the podcast because we were so busy. I didn't even get to talk about that. That's why we didn't do the podcast, honestly. Both of us were very busy trying to get everything prepped and ready to go. And by the time I would get home from working on the car, or doing something, or running around, it'd be so fucking late. We just didn't have time to do it. So thank you for your patience. And hopefully we'll be back next week with some more fun things to talk about.
Yeah. But all right, well, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.